Welcome to the Return to Service podcast, where the leaders and craftsmen of aviation maintenance share their insights, strategies, and stories to enable safe and sustainable flight. Join us and let's fly higher together.
Hey there, Matthias. Nice to see you again. Thank you for joining us today on our podcast. I think we're going to see each other here in a couple weeks at GHI in Toronto. So excited to meet up again and continue our conversations as usual. I always find those enlightening. Today I wanted to get you on this show just to learn a bit more about you, about ADVIES. So thank you for joining us. If you could, for the audience, introduce yourself and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so thank you very much, Santosh, for having me and having ADVIES on the podcast. It's a great tool to share about everybody in the airport industry. So for people that don't know about ADVIES and myself, so I am Matthias Mouinier. I am the product and customer success director for ADVIES. So I've been in the company for 13 years now. Going through engineering, commissioning, product management, and now I am managing the roadmap of our hardware and our software that we are developing, and also what we call the customer success, so which is the post sales and making sure that our customer are using the tools correctly and trying to understand the challenges that our customer face to bring the best tool as we can.
That's amazing. That makes perfect sense. I mean, you getting, the experience that you've had from, engineering all the way up, you understand the products, intimately. I'm sure you've over the years worked with many customers and tried to see or found out at least the common themes that you're able to then share through your customer success journey as well. I think that's incredible experience. So
yeah, and that's exactly what I like, because I am in the middle between the dev team, the sales team, and the customer. So trying to be and try to compromise between everybody is a great job.
That's I'm sure it keeps it very interesting and exciting, and also challenging at the same times. But
a little bit sometimes, but
yeah. Sounds great. So tell us a little bit more about ADVIES. I mean, what specifically does ADVIES do? And where do you focus from an industry perspective, and what sets you apart?
So ADVIES, we are a French company, as you can hear from my accent. We are the headquarters is in Toulouse. We have a team in the US because the American market is big for us. So we are doing a fleet management solution for airport and like more for ground support equipment. A couple of years back, we were discussing with a customer, Avia Partner, a ground handling company here, where they didn't have a good fleet management solution for GSE. GSE is very specific, and there is no standard, and we found and we were like, okay, let's do something for them. So we've developed our first box that was going into the equipment, and the first feature for them was just access control, where they wanted to know who was driving which equipment. And as we started to discuss with them, we've added GPS information, canvas information, analog and digital input to get more details about the GSE. And we grow with every customer in Europe, in Middle East, and in North America to continue and integrate more and more functionality as we were learning from the people. And in the same times, as we were collecting a lot of data from the GSE, we've built the web platform that we have, which is called Localiz, that is gathering every data from motorized equipment, not motorized equipment, and trying to deliver data to different people within the airport market. So some data are going to the airport itself. Some data are going to the operational team from the airline ground handling company or leasing company. Some data are going also to the maintenance team, as we get technical data from the unit. So to summarize, we are doing the from the beginning, from the hardware all the way up to the platform and the mobile app to collect as much as we can from GSE and to bring value to the operation and the GSE team.
Gotcha. So would it be safe to say that you guys focus predominantly on GSE and the aviation market? Or do you leverage these devices in other industries as well for other types of vehicles?
We have some other markets where we say some other people came to us and say, oh, can this product be fitted on my equipment? So we have some equipment deployed on seaport. We have some equipment deployed on golf carts because we are doing speed reduction. So if you are going too close to a green, they want to block the golf cart. So, and we have small project on the side, but that's probably 5% of our market. And we are like nearly fully dedicated to the GSE world.
To the GSE side. Gotcha. And do you believe that there's enough nuance in the aviation and GSE market that kind of justifies that, where kind of the use cases and the needs of the industry are rather unique because of where the equipment's used and the type of equipment that's used?
Yeah, there is multiple facts about, like, airport is like very very specific because you have different type of environments and which can be very different within different parts of the world. But I think the biggest challenge is the GSE itself. There is no major standard on the GSE industry about getting data from an equipment. We have CAN data that is becoming popular on the GSE market since, let's say 10, 15 years now. But before that, you need to have analog and digital input to collect data. Where, if you look at other businesses, the car market, the truck market, you have like a plug and play, port, mm-hmm. diagnostic port where you can collect everything. So I would say it's more easy to create a device that will fit every car on the market where GSE is like totally different. It's the GSE market is a little bit behind, the automotive, but I would say it's related to the quantity of equipment that are built per year, but I think there is a big progress from every OEM to have connected GSE, to have remote support, and we are trying to cover this range of equipment.
Got it. So it's really kind of filling that gap where between the vintage of GSE that's out there, different flavors, and then your devices are able to extract this information regardless of kind of the system or the standards that they may be using, but bridges that gap while the rest of the industry, especially on the OEMs in the market, are starting to build new vehicles that have some of this telemetry built in. You serve as a key part of that equation to help bridge that gap. Is that fair?
That's exactly true, yeah.
Okay, wonderful. And then what are some major challenges that you believe you know, you're helping GSE operators solve it? What do you see out in the marketplace?
There is, I would say, different challenges. One that is coming the most more and more is the safety. Everybody wants to drive safe equipment. They want to make sure that people are driving the right equipment on the right aircraft with the right training. So the biggest challenges, I would say, right now is to make sure that people are trained to drive equipment. There is too many accidents that we see where we realized after some analysis that the driver was not trained. So with our product, we are helping to make sure that you, Santosh, if you are not trained to drive a pushback, your badge is not going to allow you to drive the equipment. So this is the challenge that is coming more and more popular. It has been on the European market since a long time, and we see it more and more in the North America market in the past couple of years now. And, and the challenge is that, GAC are not connected. So you don't have any, data, and not having data when you want to take a decision is hard. So being able to know when a unit is running, when a unit is going into maintenance, when a unit is idling, is becoming super important. We were after the COVID, and now we can see that we have flights everywhere, and we need GAC at the right airport at the right time. Our system helps to understand the fleet usage. So you have this amount of baggage tractor on this airport. Do I use 80%, 90% on my peak? And if I am at 100%, I am maybe at risk, because if one or two GAC or five, there is a breakdown or preventive maintenance that needs to happen, you won't be able to operate. And the other way is that, if you have, few equipment in one station, at the end, you could, instead of investing on new GC, you can transfer them to another station. So, the challenge is being able to have data, to manage the fleet, to try to have the right GC at the right airport when you have your peak season and when you have a lot of demand.
Got it. Yeah. So would you say, so if I hear correctly here, there seems to be an increased focus on safety. Not that there wasn't before, but you know, I think that safety is a culture. It's something that you need to constantly work on. So you're starting to see that trend, not just geographically limited. You're seeing that everywhere. You also believe that there may be some impacts of COVID. I think we hear this from our customers and the industry in general. Just, you know, there's a lot of experience that left a lot of these ground handlers, airlines, etc. And so safety is one of those things where it comes with experience, knowing where you can get caught, etc. And technology certainly can help bridge that gap of lack of experience, maybe in some areas that you could get away with before. So that seems to be a trend from what I'm hearing you say. But then overall, just there's more of an expectation to do more with less. And that means that you need more information on how you're using your equipment and what's being used versus what's not being used, so that you can better optimize your fleet size, essentially.
Fleet size, and also optimize your maintenance. There is a lot of maintenance schedule that are based on a time where every 6 months you will have a GC going into maintenance. And if we are collecting the usage, the hour meter, we are able to push data to you guys and to the GAC team to plan the maintenance in a better way. Like, you know, really, like, how much hour a GAC has been used, which is obviously making sense when you need to do a preventive maintenance. And this is where getting the data, sending it to Abyss is making a lot of sense to improve the number of maintenance that you are doing on a GAC.
Yeah, thanks for highlighting that as well, because you're not only helping operators run their day-to-day operations of knowing, you know, where a piece of asset is, how long it's being used, et cetera, but it with the integrations to other CMMS or, you know, enterprise asset management systems out there, you're able to then also leverage that data to drive maintenance to ensure that, you're right, this equipment can be managed within a certain budget, but more importantly, be able to extend the life, I would imagine. So you see kind of, you know, at least we see it on the Abyss side, telemetry as being the tip of the spear, if you will, because it really is replaces a lot of guessing, time-based schedules, et cetera. It would be much better from a overall maintenance program perspective to track it and manage it by usage, right? Because ultimately that's what's going to determine wear and tear of a piece of equipment. So
exactly.
That's a great highlight. Wonderful. And what are some other industry trends that you're seeing? Certainly safety, you mentioned that, workforce, but what are some key trends that you see happening either with operators or even maintenance teams within some of these organizations?
There is few, I would say it's linked, to the safety, but, one of the trends is to understand how GSE are driven. So we have some embedded sensor in the product that allows us to detect harsh acceleration, harsh brake, harsh turn. And with all of these, we can provide a score to different people. So it's helping the training team to understand, oh, this group of people, we need to train them again on the driving to try to improve their score. And obviously this is also helping the maintenance. If you see that one equipment is breaking more than another one, you can get a warning that is telling you that you need to check the brakes on this unit more than I would say a GC that is driven normally. So, it's again linked to the safety, but being able to know and have data about how the GSC is driven is one of the trends that we see. Speed reduction is another one where we are going inside baggage galleries. When we are going inside dedicated zone, we can reduce the speed, which is obviously reducing the number of accident. And again, having data, having connection between the ramp and the maintenance. Today, when there is like a flat tire on an equipment, somebody is going to put a red tag, but the data is never going to the maintenance. So we've developed also like pre-checklist that can be defined in the platform where the operator needs to answer 5, 10, 20 questions, depending on what you would like. And based on the results, information can go straight to the maintenance, they telling them, oh, this unit has a broken something windshield. It needs to be repaired. So data is going very quick from the ramp to the maintenance, and like this, your GSC are going back to operation, I would say more quickly. So we are trying to help the communication and get data from the unit and the operator to the GSC and to the maintenance team.
Got it. So bridging that link of communication even from, you know, ramp operators, for example, to the maintenance teams that are ultimately responsible for, you know, ensuring that these assets are working when needed, right? So you mentioned that, you know, there's some of this data that helps you then determine, you know, based on this amount of usage, this failure is happening. How does the system capture what failures are happening? So certainly you can see usage is X, but how does the system know that in fact the brakes failed versus, let's say, a flat tire or something along those lines?
So, if the equipment has sensors, we have analog and digital input, so we can wire those sensors into our box. And what we see more and more now, the newer equipment with the PLC, which is the brain of the equipment that collects every information from the unit, more and more we are linked to many OEM. We are trying to build a strong relationship with the OEM we don't want, I would say, very deep technical data from their unit. That's not the goal, but the maintenance needs to have some failure information, which can, again, help the maintenance reducing the downtime. So, and most of the time, those data are collected through the canvas.
Right.
And this is where we can collect many information from a couple to few hundreds. We are working with OEM to be their telemetry system because they want to do predictive maintenance, understanding this switch has been activated 1 million times. I know that it is going to fail. I'm going to send a new switch. So with some OEM, we have a very strong relationship, and we are collecting every single data point from the unit through the campus.
And so then this gives you that information on usage before failure, but then, you know, connecting it to maintenance management systems of various sorts, then you can add and enhance that data with, okay, how long does it take to actually fix it? What does it cost? More of the financial information is then outsourced in a way to other systems. That fair to say?
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Understood. Help me understand. I mean, we run across this with a lot of our mutual customers, which is, back to your point, it would be wonderful if all the equipment was of a similar vintage with a similar standard technology, et cetera. The challenge seems to be there's thousands of these assets that range in age. It's quite fascinating to me to hear how old some of this equipment is and yet is very functional. And I think these, you know, a testament to these maintenance teams as to what they can make happen, including refurbishments, et cetera. But as you see this kind of this smorgasbord, if you will, of those that you're retrofitting with telemetry versus, you know, different OEMs coming up with their own ways of solving for it and their own platforms, what are some of the challenges you're seeing, and how are you solving for these challenges in the industry where you just have different systems through which you can access this information, right? Because you talked about Localese as a UI that you provide with your devices. I'm sure there's other OEMs that are providing their own. How do you solve for that, or can it be solved from your perspective?
It can be solved. I would say our spirit is that if our box can cover the customer need, if the GC doesn't have the brain to collect data and send data to block the equipment, let's use our product, because we made a product to be compatible with most of the GC on the market. It can be an old one, it can be a new one. But as GC now are coming with a telemetry box already installed, we can, like we say, the API is the word that everybody is using now, but that's, yeah, which is very good with the new web platform that are available now and the new technology that are available to be able to share data. So we have integration that have been made with OEM that are already equipped with telemetry. And if the customer is happy with the OEM telemetry, there is no need to add our box, and we can collect the box directly into our platform. So let's say on the 15 brands, they will have our box and in the platform, and the one or two other brand with their own telematics, we can incorporate the data and display it and do their fleet management in the same platform. So we are totally open to receive data from third party telematics that are on the market, and if the customer wants some add on that we have, as I said, the pre checklist, the spin reduction, the scoring, all of this, which is not always the case from the OEM, because the OEM, they have a telemetry for the location and the cam and the technical data from the GSC, but they are not always to the point where they are covering the operational aspect. So sometimes we are adding our box on top of the telemetry already provided by the OEM.
Got it. Wonderful. So you're somewhat agnostic there. So you can either enhance what the OEM is already providing with some additional industry specific features that you all have come up with by adding your box, or if you simply are looking for, you know, some usage data and GPS data, and that's being provided by the OEM's telemetry, then you can just integrate to that via your web interface so that the customer has a single point where they can look at least for, across their entire fleet, regardless of who's providing the actual data at the asset level.
Exactly. Yep.
Got it. Wonderful. Well, great. Is there anything else, Matthias, that you want to talk about in terms of how telemetry is, you know, changing the GSC space that we haven't covered, today?
I would say not much. We are trying to make those, I would say, GSC, connected, as now we have a lot of things that are connected and with every functionality features that we've developed in the past 13 years and that we have in our roadmap for the next 2 years. We haven't talked about battery, but the new requirement now is to know what's my state of charge. If my GSC is plugged into a charger, is the charger been finished? So we've developed also some functionality that are published since a couple of weeks now, where we can predict when the charge is finished. We can know when the GSC is plugged into a charger. So that's how we are trying to help the GSC operation, and we are still eager to learn and improve the system with a new challenge in the next couple of years.
That's very exciting, and certainly we appreciate the partnership over the years, and look forward to continuing to, you know, help our mutual customers, not only on the operation side, but on the maintenance side, right? This data is super powerful to be able to help run maintenance organizations. So we're always excited and grateful for that partnership. So coming, you know, GHI is coming up. So, how can the audience find you if they want to connect with you here in Toronto, if they're going to be there at the show? And feel free to share how people can reach you otherwise.
So basically, yes, so we will be at the GSI Toronto from the 25th to the 27th of June. We will have a booth, E20. So if you want to stop by, our sales team from North America and South America will be there, and our CEO will also be here on top of me to meet customer that we are already working with, meeting with a partner like you guys and OEM that will be at the show, and hopefully trying to learn about new challenges and new customer, hopefully.
Wonderful. Awesome. We look forward to seeing you there as well. Matthias, is there, how can people get a hold of you, if they wanted to? Could you share your email? Would LinkedIn be the right way?
On LinkedIn, you have the Advis, page where you will find, the related, people that are working. You can find myself, Matthias Moulinier, also on LinkedIn, and you have our website, www.advis.com, if you want to have some details about the product and the solution that we are delivering.
Wonderful. And we'll make sure to add those links as well in the show notes. So appreciate your time today. Appreciate the time, and thanks for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Santosh, for your time and for the podcast, and thanks for the ABIS team for having me on the podcast. See you in Toronto.
All right, wonderful.
Bye-bye.
Take care.